grab your beverages and turn up your interweb. Solving the world's problems 12 ounces at a time. It's Dudes and Beer.
Well, hello everybody, and welcome to episode 556 of the Dudes and Beer podcast. Chris Jordan, your host here. Welcome to all of our listeners nowadays up in the Poughkeepsie area, WMLD land, the voice of the Hudson Valley. So glad to have you guys aboard these days. Tonight, our guests, we have two guests tonight. So rare that we do that, but going to be more frequent this year. Our first guest will be J.L. Carpenter, defense attorney at J.L. Carpenter Law and Associates. We will be talking about the Fourth Amendment, your Fourth Amendment rights, how to protect them, how to keep them in mind every time you're stopped in your everyday life. We really don't think about our constitutional rights that much, but we really need to start to in this day and age. From there, we will launch off into a little bit more about the Fourth Amendment and the corporatocracy, things like that, with our good friend Daniel Roy Barron, author of Looking Glass Shattered, as well as write-in presidential candidate here in the Austin area for the 2020 election. So bringing us into this show, a great little clip here that kind of describes the situation that we are talking about.
License and registration.
Officer, I know that...
License and registration, please.
It's too rich.
You know how fast you were going?
What?
How fast you were going?
65.
63.
Officer, isn't the speed limit 65?
Yeah, it is.
Where are you boys headed?
Canada. We're going over the border to Canada for some french fries and gravy, sir.
Poutine.
Canada, huh?
Almost made it.
And, of course, that is the indomitable Broken Lizard with the great movie Super Troopers. But to make light of that situation a little bit before we start getting thick and heavy with it, welcome to the show, J.L. Carpenter with J.L. Carpenter and Associates, or J.L. Carpenter Law and Associates. So sorry. How are you doing, J.L.?
I'm well, Chris. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Welcome back to the show. I am so glad to have you on about this. I saw you on social media probably about a week ago post an article, a great article about the Fourth Amendment. And I was like, you know, I don't have you on nearly enough to just talk about things like this, to talk about our constitutional rights on a daily basis, how to protect them, how to know them, how do we take care of ourselves in this digital day and age, as well as this technological day and age of law enforcement. We hear so much like the horror stories that happened to the good ladies that were pulled over in Galveston a couple years ago, things like that. How often do you hear a situation like the sound clip that just brought us into this show?
Well, I'll tell you, part of the reason that I blog or write about these subjects is because I get the same questions in my office on a regular basis. I practice criminal defense. I've been practicing law in Texas since 2000. I was a prosecutor the first 3 years and got my trial experience on those training grounds. And I've been practicing criminal defense ever since. But a lot of the folks that come into my office, usually it's for DWI cases, and those start with traffic stops. And the reason I wrote the article on social media last week was because I had two clients hire me on DWI cases, different jurisdictions. Both were thrown out on the first day of court because the judge determined there was not probable cause for them being pulled over in the first place.
Oh, wow. Fantastic. And how was that determined that there was no probable cause to be pulled over in the first place?
When one of the clients came to me, he had never been in trouble a day in his life, and he was at a bar with some friends. He decided to move his truck from a dark area of the parking lot around to a well-lit area so that he could leave it there and take an Uber for the rest of the events for the night.
Oh,
and
responsible.
So a passenger jumped in his truck, They pulled the truck around, and a police officer approached him, pulled him over in the parking lot, and then it stemmed from there. When he was sitting in my office, I said to him, something doesn't add up. What was the reason the officer pulled you over in the first place? Now, in Texas, parking lots are considered public roadways, so you can get a DWI in a parking lot.
Absolutely.
But I kept asking him, I don't understand why the officer had a reason to pull you over in the first place. And what ended up happening was when I got to court and found out more information, the passenger was seen by the officer hopping in with what the officer thought was an open container. When the officer approached the driver and did more investigation, we found out that it was a closed beer. It wasn't open, so there's no open container. But what I argued to the judge was, for all the officer knew, that could have been a Diet Coke. You know, he doesn't know it's alcohol. And so he really had no reason to come in contact with the client. Now, the client was very cooperative with law enforcement in their investigation. He gave a breath test, which normally most people won't do. And the legal limit in Texas is 0.08, and he came back at a 0.086 at the time he gave the breath test. But when the judge heard the basis of the stop, he determined there was no probable cause, and so the prosecutor dismissed the case, and the client went home.
Wow.
But we have these questions come up on a regular basis, and you know, there's different types of traffic stops, and that's kind of what led me to writing the article about letting people know their rights, especially for the youth. And you and I have talked about this in the past.
Yeah.
If there's a young person who gets pulled over and they don't necessarily know their rights, then they could be subjected to a misdemeanor or even a felony that could affect them for the rest of their lives.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, you know, just a little background for our audience here. JL and I actually went to high school together many, many years
That's
ago.
Right.
And how many people did we mutually know that began their college years like that?
I know.
I myself had something that was not criminal charges, but was there on my youth jacket. It disappeared when I turned 18, things like that. But many years later, I spent time on paper. And despite the fact that it was released by the judge, anything like that, you know, it has literally popped up whenever I've gone out to rent apartments. It's come up on credit checks, all kinds of things. And that was not of it. It was a what would in Texas be a felony possession, but a minor possession. And it just about ruined my life. Granted, I was an adult when it happened, but I know people definitely that when I was youth minister, things like that, their record is there, and it's loud and clear until the day that things are expunged.
Right, and that takes time. But, you know, what I'm seeing a lot of right now with the youth is the THC oil in the vape pens. And, you know, because folks are using the vape pens a lot, and then they're adding the THC, and people think pot's not a big deal. What they don't realize is that THC oil is actually a felony. And so they get pulled over on traffic. And now recent case law says if an officer smells the odor of marijuana, that gives them permission to search the vehicle. And so I'm getting a lot of folks that are getting charged with possession of THC oil, and it's a felony. And when they realize that, you know, they're just freaking out because they see their future flash before their eyes. Their parents are concerned. But also, you and I had discussed previously about the new laws regarding cannabis and hemp, the hemp laws.
Yep.
And so with that, like Harris County and Houston, they no longer actively pursuing prosecution on less than 4 ounces of marijuana because hemp is legal and up to 3% THC. And right now our labs don't have a way to determine the percentage of THC in pot. So if it's a small amount, and we were to take that to a jury trial, they would have a very difficult time proving beyond a reasonable doubt that what they are saying is pot is actually legal. because they'd have to prove it's greater than 3% THC. They just don't have the means to do that. And so that goes the same with THC oil. So now a lot of offices are backing off on prosecuting these THC cases. You're still going to get arrested. You're still going to go through the system, but then the prosecutor is going to put it on hold until if and when there's a way that they could prosecute with the proper labs within the statute of limitations.
Yeah, and, you know, it's just the rapid succession of the laws that have happened. And don't get me wrong, I am an advocate of these laws. The more of these laws we have that are decriminalizing things like this, no offense, JL, but hopefully the less need for good folks like you that we have. Not that we want to work you out of a job, but you know, when you're talking about things like, you know, we've now got like 70-year-old women, that have been pulled over for CBD oil that now have records, things like that, like what happened up in DFW, right, with the TSA agents, that kind of stuff. So yeah, as
well, and also,
go ahead.
Yeah, Chris, but also, you know, these little cases, they're not going to work us out of a job. There's definitely bigger fish to fry, and they bog down law enforcement. So when you have officers on duty and they're dealing with a little pot case of less than 2 ounces with some kids or whatever, it takes them away from the more serious offenses that need their attention. You know, if there's a woman who's being beaten, or if there's, God forbid, an accident that was an intoxication manslaughter, these officers have other things they could be focused on. And so taking these little things like decriminalizing marijuana off their plate opens them up to be more protective for citizens who really need their help.
Yeah, and I mean, I having lived in Austin with Art Acevedo as the police chief here, having him move to Houston and that really be the first thing he did, I think was a great, great move to unburden a lot of the court system in Houston. And I'm glad to see a lot of other cities following suit, but it is interesting to see, like where Austin City Council just passed a referendum saying like, we're decriminalizing marijuana, but the police force said, nope, we're still arresting people. And it's interesting just to kind of see that battle be played out. But this battle is literally lived out on the streets every day between average Americans who do not know how to protect their rights and police officers who, you know, are in a right doing their job, but in the same way doing something that is not necessarily right frequently.
The problem is that, you know, there is a law, right? And the law is on the books. And as a law enforcement officer, you swear to follow the law and enforce the law.
Yeah.
And then you have politicians come behind you and say, well, we're not going to follow the law. And so it kind of puts you in this situation of, what do I do? But what we have, I live in a small town called Friendswood, which is about 40 minutes south of Houston towards Galveston. But I live, Friendswood is in two different counties. So half of the city is on the Harris County side, and half of the city is on the Galveston County side.
Yep.
Now, Harris County has technically decriminalized marijuana cases. So if a kid gets pulled over and they have less than 4 ounces on them of marijuana on the Harris County side, they're going to get a ticket and told to come to court on a certain day. So they're still being prosecuted, but they're not taking up space in jail and the time of the officers are being processed. So they're still being prosecuted. They do a special program if they're a first-time offender, and then the case gets dismissed, and they're eligible to have it expunged a little bit further down the road, right? Whereas if the kid drives just across the line to Galveston County, they're getting arrested, and they're being prosecuted. So it's really unfair that the law's not consistent, you know? And even within this one little city, depending on where you are, you're going to be handled differently for the same offense.
Yeah, exactly. And I've seen that play out so many times down there in that area with friends of mine. It's strange once you start getting into those interjurisdictional places like that. And now let's kind of walk people through here, JL. Before they call you, before they call JL, what should some of their steps be on an average police stop, like if they're being stopped by the police?
I always say don't fight it on the street. You know, be cooperative, but also you don't have to tell everything. You're not obligated to help with their investigation. You're not obligated to say anything that's not in your interest. So, you know, if you are, or if you get pulled over for speeding, let's say, and they ask you to step out of your vehicle or they ask to search your vehicle, unless they have a reason to arrest you, you don't have to step out of your vehicle and they don't have a right to search your vehicle. If they have a reason to arrest you, and in the state of Texas, any traffic offense except for speeding and, oddly enough, having an open container, you can be arrested for. So if you don't have a driver's license on demand, or if you don't have proof of insurance that can be verified, those are things that you could be arrested for. If they determine there's something small that they want to arrest you for, they'll detain you, and then that gives them reason to search incident to arrest. And then your vehicle can get towed, and then there's a vehicle inventory that can be done. So if you have your friend's Adderall pill that's not in a prescription bottle in your car, and they're searching your car and they find it, that's going to be a felony possession case on this kid that was just originally pulled over for speeding.
Yeah, and that kind of stuff happens all the time. I know, and like I said, folks, your good host here has spent time on paper in his life. I found it hilarious that the drug offender class was more expensive than the drug dealer class in the probation system. I thought that was funny. I was like, you know, you'd think the dealers have more money. But
yeah,
but there were so many people there that was the situation where they'd, you know, gone out and taken their mom to the hospital a couple of days earlier, went out, had a couple drinks, got pulled over, and it wasn't even the alcohol that got them in trouble. It was the pill.
Right. And you know, the other thing is that people want to, we're raised to obey authority. So people want to be cooperative with law enforcement, but things like if you're being pat down, consent, you know, if they have your consent, then that overrides everything. If they are patting you down, the pat down is on the outer part of your clothing, and they're looking for something that can harm them, like a gun or a knife. So if they feel a plastic baggy bulge in your front pocket, without your consent and without you being under arrest, they can't get to that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's just it. Had I known my rights the night that I got pulled over, it would have been a totally different situation. I was one of those people that was like, yeah, of course. Okay. You know, hey, you know, anything happens. It was 2:30 a.m. I was on my way back from a show that I'd worked, and I rolled the stop sign. They found something in the trunk. I went to jail, and when I got to my lawyer, told them the story. He was like, okay. Yeah, and the cop said that he'd help you out, you know, because you didn't have a record and, you know, you were helping him out. It's like, yeah. He was like, so how'd that work out for you?
Yeah.
That was like the coldest moment of reality ever. It was like, he's absolutely right. Like, I was raised my whole life to respect that authority and to just cooperate and to just do what they ask. But frequently doing what they ask is not in your best interest. You know, unless it's something like, I smell alcohol on your breath, or there's a really strong odor of marijuana in the car, sir. Just say no.
The other thing I don't think that people understand is that once you say, I want a lawyer, that's the end of the questioning. So it's magical. And they have, law enforcement are equipped now, most of them have dash cam and bodywear cameras. So they have audio, they have visual, and it actually protects both sides, you know, to have these recordings. But, you know, as soon as they start to initiate that stop, they're starting their investigation. They're turning on their recordings. They're turning on their audio. They have a microphone on their lapel. Everything you say is being recorded and is going to be used against you. So if you choose not to engage, if you get to a point where you feel like this is probably not where I need to be answering questions, then tell them, I don't want to say anything else unless I have a lawyer. And then that's it. That terminates all the questioning so that, that way, like I said, don't fight it on the street. You might still get arrested, but then you have a chance to hire a lawyer and sort it out properly in the courtroom.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly. And they could not have said it any better. Imagine that. It came out of a lawyer's mouth, folks. there's such a good reason to just invoke your right. Just invoke your right to counsel and just say, I really feel like I should have a lawyer present to answer any more questions. And like she said, you may spend the night in jail, something like that. You'll still go through the process, but whether or not things end up as bad as they may end up is a totally different story.
That's right. That's right. And even if you're not intending on, I have clients that say things because they think it sounds better and it's not the truth. And I'm like, why did you lie? The truth was fine.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, because I thought this would be better. And I'm like, this is why you should just not talk.
Yeah. And that's just it. No, it's not better. Just say it. Just say what it is. Whatever it is. Just say it. Unless it's something that is horribly, horribly incriminating to you, at which point, once again, refer to Rule 1. I need the presence of a lawyer.
I would like my lawyer.
And
I would like to call JL.
That's just it. And, thank you so much for coming on and talking about this. I mean, it's something that I've always been passionate about. Having worked with youth, I was a pretty low key kid. I didn't really get into a whole lot. I wasn't at a lot of the parties, things like that in high school, a few of them in college, but man, I saw people go down roads. I knew friends that things happened to. I knew friends that had rap sheets by the time they got out of high school that never, ever left.
And we grew up in a great area.
We did. We grew up in a pretty advantaged area, folks. And that doesn't change the proclivity of a teenager of an early 20, people like that. I mean, even being an advocate for marijuana, like I am, I'm still somebody that's like, wait till you're 21, kids. Just wait.
Yeah. Well, like, and that's why I spend a lot of time going around giving, speeches to youth to educate them here locally. I've gone to my daughter's sorority at Texas A&M and spoken to the girls up there because in college you have that combined group where some are not 21 yet and some are 21 and you've got alcohol at parties. So what do you do there? But for the grace of God go I, because I remember back in our day, we had keg parties usually out in the woods.
No.
And
nothing ever happened out off Highway 99.
I know. And there was two times I remember I walked into the woods to tinkle and put my cup down, and when I walked out, the party was being raided. Thank God I didn't have a cup in my hand.
Yeah.
And then I went to the bonfire when we used to have them in Aggieland, and I was under 21, and I went into a porta potty and had put my cup down, and when I came out, they were writing MIT's minor possession tickets to everyone. Thank God I didn't have. I mean, by the grace of God, but everyone around me, And that's something else I see a lot now, because when we were growing up, we didn't have minor in consumption tickets. We had minor in possession. But now they're giving out minor in consumption. And so what I see locally is that when they bust parties, house parties of underage drinking, then they ask the kids with their bodywear camera running, they'll ask the whole group of kids, if you did not have anything to drink, raise your hand. That's an admission, right? So if the whole party sits there, nobody raises their hand.
Yeah.
Well, you just got the whole party to admit that they've consumed.
Yeah, exactly. thanks for the trick question, Teach. Like, that's good enough to confuse an adult, much less the fact that anybody that does raise their hand just incriminated everybody else.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
I know.
And it's just... It, you know, since we've come of age, JL, there have been so many changes to the law. There have been so many things that pop up, so many keywords that pop up in media that are now used in law. Things like that, where it's like, wow, man, you know, the things that get a kid kicked out of school now.
I know.
That stay, much like any legal records, stay with you. To employers, all kinds of stuff. So it's one of those, like, man, I've got a 3-year-old in the next room, almost three. And it's one of those, like, geez, the legal world that's going to exist, by the time he's in school, the paperwork I'm going to have to fill out to be in PTA or to go on any kind of school trip, you know, is going to be immense.
Well, I tell you, don't blink your eyes because they grow up fast. Mine are now 22 and 20 years old. And I think that they had a little bit of a different upbringing having a criminal defense lawyer as their mom because I was always cautious. Of course, I would always ask them questions that I always knew the answers to just to see how they would answer. When my son first started driving, he called me and said that somebody had backed into his car at the school parking lot and dented it and took off. And I said, immediately, my lawyer mind kicks in. I said, well, hold on, don't go anywhere. Let me have the school pull the videos so we can see who it was, see if we can get a license plate.
Right.
And he goes, Okay, mom, let me just tell you, it was me. I accidentally backed it.
Like, did he think you weren't going to go SBU at that moment? Like, come on, this is what you do for a living.
Right. But, you know, and when we have another episode together, Chris, I'd like to also talk about some of the things that I had to really, you know, instill in my son as he made choices, because I have seen so many innocent men get accused of sexual assault from a consensual intercourse relationship.
Yeah.
And then the next day she's mad or there's some situation that's causing her remorse. And what was consensual on Saturday night, on Sunday morning, it's considered rape. And not to diminish true victims, because I do advocate for victims to have a voice and come forward.
Absolutely.
But I see so many false allegations that can ruin a young man's life. And so when we have more time, we can talk about that on your next show.
No, absolutely. Let's please do have you back on. Like I said previously and recently, I would love to start having you on regularly, especially now that you're doing the blog, stuff like that. I would love to feature those on our website just to get you some more traffic on them. And get some more eyes on them, because the things that you're doing to bring these situations to light in an everyday legal way is great, JL, and so absolutely necessary in this day and age for parents, for kids, and just people out there. Like I said, people unfortunately do not know what that great Constitution actually holds. We hear a few things thrown around in the news, things like that, but if you go, everybody, to dudesandbeer.com/knowledge vault and then go to constitutional and civil rights, you can see the entire document. It's all of 21 pages, pretty big type. And the whole part that we've been talking about tonight is the Fourth Amendment, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures, shall not be violated. No warrants shall issue but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and person or things to be seized. That's your rights by the Constitution right there. And if anything might go against that, call JL. Invoke your right to counsel. Invoke your right to counsel, people. That is what it is there for. Protect yourself, because they are not out there to protect you. That's really the only way I can put it. Like, they're out there to protect you, but they are not there to, like, protect your constitutional rights in that way. If you do something to incriminate yourself, they will absolutely take advantage of it. So
Yeah, they have a job to do, and they're building a case. So
that's right.
You have the choice of invoking your rights and knowing your rights and your constitutional rights, or aiding them and building a case against you.
Yep.
So I'm a big proponent of keep your mouth shut and ask for a lawyer.
I am so entirely glad to have your phone number on my phone, JL, for that exact reason. because, yeah, like, I've been up against it in life. And, you know, like you were saying, having a son, being a defense lawyer gets you out of a lot. Fortunately, 20 years of rock and roll, I don't think my son's going to get away with a whole lot. I've pretty much heard it and seen it all when it comes to those behaviors. So, yeah, sorry, kid. but thank you so much for taking the time to be on air with us tonight, JL. Tell everybody where they can go to find out more about you, where they can go to find these great videos that you're putting out and the awesome blog articles that you're doing as well.
Thanks, Chris. Yeah, my website is www.jlcarpenterlaw.com. I'm also on Facebook, Law Office of JL Carpenter. The blogs are posted on both, and I really appreciate you having me on your show.
Always, always. Anytime you want, you see something like that in the news or something that you want to do an episode and get the word out about JL, you just let me know. You are always welcome on this show.
You got it, Chris.
Your input is so fantastic, so real and down to earth, and without legalese. That's what I love about it.
Thank you.
The few lawyers that I've ever had on that has not just filled the airwaves with nothing but legalese. You really do break it down to a common view, and that is seen and told all day long in the reviews that you go and read online about JL and her law firm, JL Carpenter Law and Associates. So thank you very much for being a part of the program tonight, JL. We look forward to having you on again soon.
Thanks, Chris.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you soon, JL. Now, kind of switching gears here, folks. Same topic, same thing, you know, speaking of constitutional rights, stuff like that. We are going to actively be talking to... I almost hit block. I don't want to do that. Here we go. We're going to be talking to Daniel Roy Barron. He is an independent write-in candidate for president out of the Austin, Texas area. He's been running the E-Town Halls, things like that. Welcome, Daniel Roy Barron. How have you been doing, my friend?
Oh, thank you, Chris, for having me back on. It's great to circle back with you. Been busy with the great mandate for direct vote,
Love
One
it.
Voice Now, and the hashtag E-Town Halls, electronic town halls, first pitched by President Ross Perot in 1992. And I'm calling him the president because a lot of people believe he did win. It was declared he had 20% of the vote that back in the 90s. But people have been so fed up with the whole voting system, and we saw the Iowa caucus debacle.
Oh.
What we're proposing is actually light years ahead of the current voting system and things that we have on the plate. And I've been, since I met you and we were there, Bob was with me here in Austin for a week. And every day I really honor Bob Dunsmore, and his work over his lifetime is unbelievable.
Yeah, man.
Documentary.
It was
a great documentary called Bolivia Beyond Belief, from 3 years in Bolivia, and he had to escape for his life. Really heroic guy. And then David Frank with One Voice Now. These are two gentlemen that I speak with probably every few days. I've kept in touch with both of them,
yeah.
And they have great ideas on majority will for the people and bringing direct voting for the first time ever, and to move away from this representative queen king ruler type government that we have now. And so exciting times.
And I mean, whenever you came on last time, I remember it was literally like an hour or so before you came into the studio to come on live that you told me he was coming on with you, and I was like, well, who is he? And I started doing some research and stuff like that. And then he got here and it really all tied together. And I was like, oh my God, wow. Like, this is amazing. This is great stuff. And to hear about the great mandate, to hear about the concept of making decisions in law that affect up to seven generations, that you don't make anything that isn't good for the next seven generations after you. Such a beautiful thing. And that's really oversimplifying the great mandate, folks. It goes so much deeper than that when it comes to getting rid of the true means of control that's going on in our country right now, trying to get big money and big business out of politics, out of government, out of the ranks of government. And that's why I wanted to have Daniel Roy Barron on the first time around, and why when we decided to have JL on to talk about the Fourth Amendment, I was like, wow, well, you know who would be great to have on is a possible presidential candidate. Since we're in this political climate right now, things like that, you know, like how do presidential candidates weigh in on this topic and the concept of illegal search and seizure of citizens, things like that. So, yeah, I know you were tuned in while we were on air, things like that, Daniel, but, give us your opinion on the current state of Fourth Amendment, things like that here in the United States.
Well, thanks for having me on. One thing for the record, I think this is an important thing to say, is like any candidate, is I've never been in a secret society. I've never been associated with intelligence. I've never worked for the CIA or any of the all those acronyms of branches of intelligence. I've never had anything to do with that. And so that's really important, because I actually just saw that Mayor Pete, who's running for president, was with the Intel. He was with the Navy Intel. And that's questionable right there.
I mean, yeah. No, exactly. I'm sorry. I just reloaded some stuff on my computer and I had the crowd cheering effect and I had to throw it in because, yeah, like, good luck finding a president that isn't tied like by three layers of connection in some way to the intelligence agencies.
Well, George Bush Sr. was the head of the CIA. I mean, how ridiculous is this? I think this idea that we want to find people that are not associated with Intel or the military, and these things get glossed over in a lot of the things that we're seeing now. I think there are major points, and maybe some other candidates can talk about that more, is like that clear division.
Yeah.
But one of the huge things that I've seen, I was born in 1968 and just getting into my early 50s now, and I've seen tremendous changes. And when it comes to the Fourth Amendment and protecting our rights to search and seizure, and one of the things I've seen is that we no longer have we used to have what was called peace officers, and now they're called law enforcement. So the big difference would be now in 2020, they're to serve and protect the corporation, and they used to be about to serve and protect the people. And that's a huge part of why I'm a huge fan of the great mandate for direct vote or the great mandate for direct democracy, is that it's talking about how do we cut corporate personhood, and that also can lead to ending all the endless wars and closing the 800 military bases that the U.S. has around the world, and they will no longer be the dark star. So I'm really pushing. My ideas are so different than even Bernie Sanders, who I do like. I do like a lot of what he's proposed, having single payer Medicare for all. But this search and seizure in the Fourth Amendment is a huge issue that has been glossed over, and we have to start going back to the time of peace officer. I've actually proposed that we could look at staffing our police force with social workers instead, and have a huge increased funding for social work and for these types of things, where not everything needs to be solved by a gun and a wild, wild west. I do want to point out a horrific story that happened last year. I think it's really important when maybe people haven't followed this, but it happened in Texas. It was in Fort Worth, where a neighbor called because the neighbor's door was open. And it speaks to several things that I don't think we heard when this story broke. But the police officer showed up, killed the lady of the house who was living there, just came in, and just pulled a gun and shot this innocent person. And so, number one, I think it speaks to the fact why the neighbor doesn't go out, check the neighbor's house. Why is everybody just calling the cops on everybody, it seems like? I mean, that's one issue. The other issue was, why are these cops just shooting everybody? You know, it's really horrific what we're seeing. And these are not the kinds of things that happen like a more of the Mayberry. These were the TV shows that I grew up as a kid in the 1970s and more of a peace officer kind of thing. But I feel strongly we've turned into this George Orwell 1984 dystopia police nightmare. It's a police state, and our police look the same as military. So I would go so far as if I were to be president, and I would start looking at having different uniforms, having our police be more like social workers, and even situations that they shouldn't have a gun even to show up. Like in England, it's common that police officers don't have guns there, and they're not just shooting first and asking questions later. Yeah. And that's what we're seeing, and that's why I do promote Black Lives Matter. And it's really an important cause to point out that so many people are just getting shot, and you're way more likely to get shot if you're African American or minority. And it's true. Uh-huh. And these types of things, we really can look at the police and like, what are these? Everybody's afraid of the police, and nobody wants to really even talk with them. If they wore uniforms that were a lot more comfortable and a lot more like approachable, that we would even talk with them or like have anything to do with, everybody I feel like from all walks of life are just frightened by them. And it feels like Nazi Germany in the U.S. right now.
Well, there definitely is. And, much like the clip that I played earlier, you can hear the intimidation in the voice of the kid being pulled over. And granted, it's a comedy sketch, but we've all been there. Hell, I'm a grown ass man, Daniel. I'm 44 years old, going on 45 this year. But I tell you what, when those rollers pop up behind me, man, there's a flutter in my tummy. Happened all of a couple weeks ago with me and my wife coming back from Houston. We were driving along, and all of a sudden, whoop, 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 couple little light flashes, and we pulled over. I mean, granted, it was just that our registration was out. You know, and because of paying a toll fine, things like that, it was delayed, but all good, not a problem. But that leads right down the hole. That is the open opportunity at that point for the officer to say, I smell alcohol in the car, I smell reefer in the car, anything like that. And that's the time when you need to have somebody like JL literally on speed dial, folks. At the very least, because if there's one number, like, they may confiscate your phone, but you know what they can't do? Keep you from counsel. So the least that they can do and that they have to do is give you that lawyer's phone number from your phone. So always keep a defense lawyer's phone number on your phone. Doesn't matter if it's like, you know, the 1-800 get me out of jail phone number. I don't care. Feel free to invoke your constitutional right. And like she said, these guys, and like you said, they're called law enforcement officers. They have a job to do. Their job is to enforce the law. Unfortunately, their job is to enforce the letter of the law, not the spirit of the law, not the intent of the law, not their interpretation of the law. So that leads down some rough and rapid roads, man. To know that there is a presidential candidate like you out there that has been through these roads, Daniel, that has seen this kind of stuff happen. Like, that was the one thing that I said about Beto, not to get horribly political here on the show real quick, because we talk politics, but we don't really get political, if you know what I mean. Whenever it came to his DUI and his DWI and leaving the scene of the crime, it was one of those like, dude, why didn't you just tell the story? Like, you were a panicked 25-year-old kid. You were drunk. You left the scene of the crime. Just man up, face front that, say that that's what happened, and move on. Because once the media finds out that that's what happened, buddy, they're going to dog you on all day on it. Because you left the scene of a crime, you know, but it really is one of those like, get out in front of it. Say what happened. Say what's there. It's OK. You're human. Imagine that. A president's human. Like, it's hilarious to me. But what also comes with human is that corruption, is that other side of it. And that's where we start getting into the crazy things, like what's in the post for this episode, the promo post, the 100-mile zone that the indie that oh my Lord, it just left my head that the ACLU reported back in 2012, things like that, where within 100 miles of any border, land or sea or port of entry, you have no availability of your Fourth Amendment right. You do not have availability to no search or seizure. And when you look at the map, like almost 2 out of 3 people live within that 100-mile zone. So you're talking about 2 out of 3 people controversially being stripped of their Fourth Amendment right. With things like that. And when you start talking about things like the NDAA, the Patriot Act, that kind of stuff, it just really starts digging the heels in deeper. And yeah, it rabbit holes rapidly, Daniel.
Oh, yeah. I try to point out, if I were to be president, I would abolish the Patriot Act and abolish the NDAA, because there's so many things like that that are keeping back our civil liberties, our human rights. And I celebrate and salute the ACLU and all the great job that they're doing. They have actually freed, recently I talked with some of the lead over there, and they said they freed like 300 people from these cages, these horrible, that ICE. And I would look to abolish ICE as well. We have so many things that this country is supposed to be about, the Statue of Liberty and freedom and welcoming, and we've really turned away from that. And unfortunately, these police departments also are just passing stricter and stricter laws so they can throw more people behind bars and make more money. And this, even the bail system, there's a lot of bail reform going on. And we definitely do have the Jim Crow laws in the South, where if, you know, again, Black Lives Matter, if you're a minority or African-American, way more likely that the prison will be your future. And so many families are being raised with mothers or single families that these Jim Crow laws are still in effect. And the prison is just the same as what it was before African-Americans were given the right. I would go so far as to say if someone's arrested, they should be able to vote again after they come out of jail. And the other country, we're just following the lead of what other countries do. Some other countries are actually closing down their prisons, like Netherlands. I was just reading they've cut their prisons by half, and more, and also legalizing and decriminalizing all the drugs, like Portugal. So I try to, you know, as we talked about last time, try to get rid of the military police industrial complex and give things back to the majority will of the people. I'm glad you played that clip last time. People can go check it out in archive, where you played the famous speech by President Eisenhower, who warned us about the military industrial complex. But now it's also the military / police industrial complex, because they're actually even buying older military grade equipment is going into our police forces around the country.
That's been happening for years and years, that they've been getting discounts on equipment for their SWAT teams, all kinds of stuff, and we're talking like street grade tanks, stuff like that. It's definitely started going down a wild rabbit hole when it comes to the militarization and tactilization of your local police department. And you know, unfortunately the case is, most of the time, like JL said, they are building their case from day one, from minute one, not even day one, minute one. From the minute that they pulled you over, they have started collecting evidence to support their case, whatever the narrative may be, come the end of that stop. So all you can do is try to protect yourself from the beginning. And very, very much the same way politically. All you can try to do is curtail that and protect yourself from the beginning. Know your candidates. Know what they stand for. Stand for something yourself. And if your candidate doesn't stand for it, don't stand for it. Don't vote that person into office. For the next few minutes, Daniel, we've got about five more minutes before we have to say goodbye to our WMLD audience, and we can continue on for our internet audience. But if you like, tell our audience a little bit about what it was that made you want to become a presidential candidate to begin with.
Well, people can research it. I ran in 2016 as a write-in, and I did get some write-in votes, which I'm proud of. People will write
my
name in. I've been an activist, a Unitarian Universalist most of my life, and really trying to I'm an author. I wrote the book Looking Glass Shattered. I just recently changed the subtitle. It's Looking Glass Shattered, Cubicle Commando to Real Democracy Leader, and really wanting to you know, in my own life, I think every activist that you talk with, if they're trying to be president or if they want to act, they want to be active in any area, it comes from their own internal life. I've had my challenges, and I go into greater details in my book. It's on Amazon, and, you know, it's just like going down this rabbit hole, the Alice in Wonderland, how to shatter the looking glass, like how much ego should we have? What about the matrix, you know, what are we facing as far as World War III internally, but also externally? Like, what are things that we can do to be more at peace? So I've been traveling the world and going to different retreats and learning and things like ayahuasca. And I just did Vipassana, which was really helpful last year in Kaufman, Texas. It's a 10-day silent meditation retreat. So I try to come up with just after years and years of interviewing people, being a talk show host since 2014, hashtag eTown Halls is the talk show that I've been doing. It's all just led me up to this. And I did see a psychic here in Austin. I haven't told you this story, who predicted that I would be this great leader one day. And I've never fully understood how that would manifest, but they did like a reading on me. And I guess I've always held on to that, that one meeting. You just never know what the psychic would predict. But
you know,
I guess I've been really holding on to that.
Oddly enough,
somehow this is all going to come true.
Hey, Daniel, you know, you say that, my friend. I'll share my psychic story with you real quick. A very good friend of mine, Kenny, will be his name right now. His name is actually Kenny, but that's all you're getting, folks. I will not use his name without permission. Called me up one day out of the blue. Now, I used to run sound with Kenny, Daniel. All right. And we ran sound at the same venue in Portland, Maine for years. And we stayed friends, but it was one of those, like, we had each other's numbers. Occasionally we'd text each other something funny, but, you know, didn't really talk. And he called me one day and he was like, "Hey man, what's up?" I was like, "Not much." He's like, "I have someone here that wants to talk with you." I was like, okay, that sounds kind of creepy. And he was like, no, seriously. I'm not going to tell you anything about him, but we were talking and I mentioned you, and immediately he said, "I need to talk to him." And he was like, I just want you to know, I'm going to hand the phone over to him and I need you to just listen. That's it. Don't respond until he stops and until he asks you something. Just listen. I was like, okay. And he started going, man. Going. And like telling me deep stuff about, like, things that Kenny didn't know about me in my life. And it was like, whoa. And I ended up meeting this guy. Had an even more amazing experience meeting him one-on-one, and he became kind of a spiritual advisor for me for a little while. It was great. And just before he passed away a couple years ago, but just before his passing, he knew about my shows, things like that, and he was like, "Chris, I want you to know something. People are going to start sharing their stories with you. You won't know why, but the stories will be shared nonetheless. And they need to be shared, and you need to let people tell their story. And since then, man, like, the floodgates have just fallen open. It's been wild, like, just to sit back and see the ride that this show has gone on with guests and people like you, people like JL, stuff like that. Gone from casual conversation around a table to really hard-hitting conversation with people that are actively doing things. And it's great. It's great. But that's why I don't discount when people are like, so I heard this psychic, right? Or I saw this psychic. Like, I don't discount it. Because you never really know who those people are that you're going to meet. You never really know who those people are that are going to move you to that next moment. What was it after this revelation of yours, Daniel, that really steeled your resolve into going into the presidential election and campaigning again?
Well, I guess part of my background for the audience is my background is a Jewish background. Although I have walked away from the major religions, I do feel the spiritual connection and more of the indigenous mm-hmm. aboriginal ways. So, but I do have relatives that died in the Holocaust, so I can relate directly to what's going on in the U.S. and feel I don't want that to happen here, you know, to put a foot down. And I actually celebrate yeah. atheism a lot too, but I also feel like a good blend of atheism and spirituality, because I don't think there is anything after we die. I think that's just it. We're just we're that's, but there's no real proof of that. But so I guess this journey for me has been about the strength card. And when I went, I had some other psychic predictions too, saying that I need to come back to Austin and that I'll have some successful business here. And so I guess some things that I've listened to, and some people have told me things that, you know, like you mentioned in your story, like, how do they know all this stuff? And but I guess personally, things like having to live in 4 homeless shelters, you know, and knowing how difficult it is to be in a city with no money or little money, and having your, you know, put up a tent and, you know, figure out how to survive, and hiking the trails, you know, what are your options? You either go live, try to live on the trails, or you live in the city, or, you know, when the money is either gone or no money. And I want to celebrate my current roommate. He's let me stay here for free, and I've slowly been getting some more savings up. Yeah. And I really appreciate that. I think it's trying to, you know, nobody can fully understand what it's like to have either little money or no money unless you've been there, done that. And yeah. so that's given me a lot of incentive to go down this road, and some things that my ancestors have had go through. And to be really bold, it is a bold statement to say, oh, I'm going to put myself out as a presidential write-in candidate and see where it goes, try to shake things up yeah. best I can, and be an activist. And I love doing these talk shows, as yourself too. I've been driven to do that and be an author, and the learning. And I've interviewed everybody from Lieutenant General Flynn to people dumpster diving to yeah. just try to make it through the next day. Everything in between, celebrities. I've interviewed the full span of what it is to be in humanity.
Well, and that's what I love about you, Daniel. Tell our audience in WMLD land where they can go to find out more about the campaign for Daniel Roy Barron 2020.
Well, thank you for joining us. It's all about the majority will of the people, while 100% protecting our minorities. So we're moving away from a representative type of government where we have these queens and kings. We only have like a yeah. handful of people, and they're ruling over 340 million. So you can learn more about hashtag e-town halls, which were electronic town halls that came from President Ross Perot. OneVoiceNow.org is what we're working with, you know, 340 million voices. However this transforms fundamental to society in the U.S. is that we are more in the voting seat, and we're not just putting all our faith in Bernie or Mayor Pete or all the other candidates, Trump, all these other candidates. We're saying, no, it's turn it over to the people. And this is completely cutting the ego yeah. and the matrix. We've been conditioned by the matrix programming. So, yeah, go check out eTownHalls.com. We just celebrated 100 subscribers on our YouTube channel, which and they weren't paid for. These are really, you know,
actual
people that
people.
Came over and saw the value. Yeah, real people, which is great. I point that out because some channels you go to, you can tell that some people, you know, have just paid for subscribers. So I'm really proud of where we've gone and where we're going with this, and getting the word out is a beautiful thing.
Absolutely.
You know, in this time. So it's etownhalls.com. You can join the movement. You can sign the Great Mandate for Direct Vote. It's a petition on moveon.org, which is part of Occupy movement. I do celebrate and salute Occupy. Actually, what we're proposing with hashtag etownhalls is Occupy. And the good news, I did pitch this idea to Austin. They're considering it right now to actually move to a direct voting. We have people here in Austin are looking at all the issues. We're voting on them. We're deciding. We're debating them. We're getting informed. And people like yourself, Chris, and other talk show hosts can really shine. And this is an opportunity where it could be a paid opportunity where your job is to look at how do we help people who are unhoused? How do we help the code? The gentrification of Austin or not, you know, or what direction does Austin want to take? Not just by 10 city council, one mayor. I've even called for a recall of Mayor Adler. And, you know, I put myself presidential, but also the idea that we'll see where that goes, but also recalling the mayor and that I would be the mayor, but I would promise to fire myself in 1 year. And that by that 1 year, that would only take me 1 year to get direct voting in Austin, for example. And then 1 million people's voices instead of 10 city council and one mayor, that 11 people are ruling over 1 million people here in Austin. So that's one example of let's move to this direct voting majority will of the people while always 100% remembering we've got to protect minorities and we can move past any of the arguments against direct voting and democracy and giving people a say. We've got great processes. We've got great quality assurance, which is also my background of 20 years. And that's one of the main reasons why I even put myself out as a presidential candidate is to add that we've got great quality ideas and processes. Let's go ahead and just start using them. Unfortunately, we're not doing that right now. So no other candidate is proposing all these things that we've been putting out there, but it's etownhalls.com with an S on the end. Daniel Roy Barron with one R. I'm on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, LinkedIn, you know, all those different sources, and the YouTube channel is hashtag etownhalls. So thank you so much.
Hey, absolutely. Thank you so much. Let's definitely have you back on here soon to talk about how we can shake things up with E-Town Halls, what we can do about getting direct election in, that kind of stuff. Daniel, thank you so much for coming on to piggyback this episode with J.L. Carpenter this evening. Please do hold the line while we close things out. While you're online, checking out everything for E-Town Halls, and Great Mandate, and Daniel Roy Barron and his campaign for 2020 write-in presidential election candidate. Make sure to stop on by dudesandbeer.com. Make sure to stop on by hcuniversalnetwork.com. Dudes and Beer, the Knowledge Vault is where you can find all the documents that we were talking about tonight, from the Constitution to the NDAA 2020 to a complete copy of the Patriot Act, all downloadable PDFs. All kinds of great stuff. Thank you so much to our guest tonight, J.L. Carpenter of J.L. Carpenter Law and Associates, as well as Daniel Roy Barron, 2020 presidential candidate and author of Looking Glass Shattered. Until next time, everybody, take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. If you can't be good at it. That's really about it. Take care, man. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Dudes and Beer Podcast.
PodcastCadet.com.
To listen to our audio streams or chat with us live, download the official Dudes and Beer app for Android and iDevices, available on Google Play and iTunes markets. For more episodes, content, and information, visit us online at dudesandbeer.com. You can also find our episodes on Breach.tv, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, SoundCloud, iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Dudes and Beer is a proud member of the HC Universal Network family of podcasts. For more about our sponsors and other podcasts on this network, visit hcuniversalnetwork.com. Thanks for listening, everybody. And until next time, drink responsibly.